before we start our timer, let me make sure I get my PowerPoint at the right spot. This is the wrong one. It's the last one that I used. And go to the last colored slides, if you would, the last section. Sorry about that. Anyway, if you could just forward down to the very bottom, the last colored set. We got to be ready to go when the clock starts. Okay, that's it. That's it. Perfect. Okay. I appreciate the chance we've had for our discussion. Appreciate the good arguments. I want to continue in the spirit that has been presented. And let's talk a little bit about how I can know something. One of the things, one of our major differences is that I really do believe that the Holy Spirit leads us, but he leads us through a medium or a means. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. Rather than God saying that he's going to send the Spirit directly upon us to bear witness to us, he has given us a written revelation that works on our heart. Therefore, it can be debated, studied, and tested, and we can know what God wants. And looks like I didn't turn on this. Okay, here we go. All right. And so as we examine that point, is that I ask people, well, how can I know the will of God? We've had the book of Moroni mentioned, and how the promise made in the Book of Mormon is that you were to ask and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Doctrine and Covenants is a passage sometimes that has been presented to me. And it says, behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind, and then you must ask me if it be right. And if it be right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore you shall feel that it is right. But if it is not right, you shall have no such feelings, but you shall have a stupor of thought that shall cause you to forget the thing which is wrong. Therefore you cannot write that which is sacred, save it to be given you from me. And so again, here I'm told, and we were emphasized tonight, that I've got to read the Book of Mormon, and then I need an experience. I deny you will find that anywhere in the Bible. And I deny that is how you come to know truth. Matter of fact, you talk about confusion. That is really typical of the Pentecostal world today and many other religious groups that claim a direct operation from God, and you've got all kinds of confusion with that. And I don't deny that people have experiences, but I deny that experiences is the basis of which we know something. I keep going back that Paul talked about if an angel appeared to you, if an angel came to you and said, believe this, and what is written is contrary to that, you don't believe the angel. Paul said, even if himself later changed and taught something contrary, it's the written word, the previously delivered word, that has power. It's very simply stated here, 1 Corinthians 14:36. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it to you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That is the ultimate test. Because you start following feelings, I mean, as I look in the religious world today, there's all kinds of folks that talk about feelings and experiences. And they believe all kinds of things. I've seen people with tears in their eyes tell me certain positions, and somebody else with the same tears in their eyes tell me something else. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where God tells you to follow feelings. The passage in 1 Corinthians 12:3 talks about the Holy Spirit leading someone, but it's none through the written word. I know that Jesus Christ is Lord by what is revealed. Let me leave you with this warning. If you depend upon experiences, and particularly if you depend on somebody else who says they have an experience, you put yourself in dangerous ground. There was a man of God in 1 Kings 13 that God told him that he was not to eat bread or drink water and go home by a different place. God told him that as a prophet. And guess what? Another guy came to him later. And he says, well, I'm also a prophet. In 1 Kings 13:18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But notice the next word. But he lied unto him. This prophet sincerely thought the old prophet was telling the truth. And he failed to examine what had already been revealed. And so again, as I study the Book of Mormon, as I study the claims of Islam, which is another group we've talked about, and the claims of Muhammad, I'm going to put every new prophet to the same test. Let's see what they have revealed. Let's test them at what has already been revealed. And if it falls short, it is rejected. And so that's the basis in coming to know the truth. It's interesting, and I didn't cover this, but it looks like I've got a minute left. If you study the Book of Mormon, one of the problems I got with the Book of Mormon, you have no historical verification. There are all kinds of statements made in the Book of Mormon as, for instance, existing here during the time that it claimed that existed. Well, there was wheat and horses and chariots and cows and elephants and silk and linen and many pieces of gold and silver and steel. And you begin to look at the claims of the book, and the archaeological studies show no such claims. And you begin to look at the descendants and the claim of the descendants, and you have problems there. I look at the Bible, I see verification. I see how God has worked. I look at the Book of Mormon, I question the basis to know. And then as I look at the facts, it comes up short in my study. I am still open for that evidence, and I hope we would consider this. This study is only the beginning of some further investigation. By the way, I know my time's up, but I want you to know that there is literature that our Mormon friends have brought with us that's here that you can have if you want before you leave, Book of Mormon and other copies. This will conclude our first subject, and now we're going to go on to our second subject on the doctrine of eternal progression.